Trigger warning, mention of pregnancy. I didn't realize when I started writing this episode that I would have to trigger myself in three different ways just to get the story out. From the way I found out I had endometriosis, to a scary surprise pregnancy with a rare complication, to a total hysterectomy in the middle of a pandemic, I spent many terrifying nights in the hospital. Surviving your uterus looks different for everyone. For me, it meant digging that thing out and tossing it in the trash, which is medically known as a total hysterectomy. Hey, I'm Natasha, and my uterus tried to kill me, so I decided to kill it first. Now I'm sharing my experience to help others learn how to survive their uterus. Now, before you come at me, I'm not advocating that everyone go out and get a total hysterectomy. There are plenty of ways to survive the myriad of issues that are being born with the uterus entails that don't have to end with ripping the thing out and dancing on its metaphorical grave. There are just as many reasons to have one as well, from chronic illness and cancer risk to life-affirming salvation. For me, the decision was simple. I had endometriosis, which causes painful lesions made up of the same cells that your uterus sheds every month to grow outside the uterus. I was in constant debilitating pain in between periods, and I was completely bedridden for about 5 days a month every month. But I didn't always have a name for the pain that had chased me through the years. First, let's go back to 2016. I was lying on the couch with my heating pad, as one does when they try to pretend that much pain is normal. I turned over and felt like I had been stabbed in the stomach. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak in full sentences to explain what had happened, that it had felt like a laser beam was carving a hole in my abdomen, or like being stabbed by a white hot knitting needle that stayed in and stayed hot. All I knew was that I had to get to the hospital. My best friend and my future husband got me to the local ER, but we're in a tiny community, so they sent me off to a larger hospital about an hour away. I didn't have any insurance at the time, so I declined the expensive ambulance ride, and I felt every imperfection in our worn Missouri roads on the longest ride of my life. A few months prior, I had lost two friends within 2 weeks of each other to cancer. And I hadn't been to the doctor in years, even though I knew I was at high risk for cervical cancer thanks to HPV. I was a single mom struggling to launch a web design business and moonlighting at McDonald's, and I didn't have insurance. I would have gone to the doctor if I could have afforded it. At that point, I was certain they were going to run their tests and that I was going to die, because I felt like I was dying. When I got to the bigger hospital, I went through round two of explaining that my entire left side felt like it was being eaten alive. I couldn't even pinpoint the pain. It all hurt. My vague answers weren't helping anyone, but I was in tears and in the fetal position, and I couldn't even begin to determine where the pain was even coming from. To make sure I wasn't a drug seeker, with a flair for the dramatic, they decided to keep me overnight and run tests. They wouldn't even give me Tylenol. So I spent one very scary, one very painful night in the hospital. At this point, I've forgotten most of this traumatic night. All of my memories of it have a blurry film of fear over it. My brain is trying to save me from the trauma, no doubt. They took scans and ultrasounds, but no one could or would tell me anything. The next morning, they took me to surgery. I made it through recovery, and finally, the doctor came in to tell me what was happening inside my body. Stage 4, severe endometriosis. I had never even heard of it. Doctor explained that my left ovary had folded over on itself from the weight of a cyst called an endometrioma, like a flower drooping after its stalk is snapped. They had excised the endometrial tissue and left my ovary. Even then, I knew that was a mistake. I didn't understand why they didn't take that poor battered thing out while they were in there. But an archaic decision about my worth as a person was made in that surgical suite, and it was made in favor of future occupants of my womb and not the quality of my life. A year later, I followed up with a doctor recommended by the one who performed that first surgery, and unbelievably was met with more disbelief and annoyance from the medical team there. I had the diagnosis, but even then, they still didn't believe me, didn't believe the pain I was in that I told them that I was in. So what is endometriosis? It's when tissue that is similar to the tissue that makes up the lining of your uterus, the endometrium, is found outside of your uterus. It commonly involves your ovaries, fallopian tubes, and the tissue lining your pelvis. And occasionally, it finds its way even further to affect your bowels, your urinary tract, your lungs, and other organs. It forms a fibrous tissue that glues your organs together and causes symptoms like painful periods, painful sex, painful poops, bladder spasms, headache, backache, nausea, fatigue, and swelling. Endometriosis affects at least 1 in 10 people with a uterus, and the total number of people with endo is more than the entire population of Russia. Now, having a better idea of what my endo diagnosis meant, and knowing I had been treated so poorly by the people at that university hospital, I decided to go back and see the doctor who had treated me during my first pregnancy and successfully delivered my daughter more than a decade earlier. He was also the doctor who performed my mom's hysterectomy, so there was a lot of history with him in his office. It was another long trek, this time in the opposite direction, but it was worth it. He's an expert in endometriosis, and I never once felt like I had to convince him that I was as sick as I felt. He knew. He got me in for another round of lesion removal and a prescription for birth control to try and keep the endo at bay. I've never been great at taking birth control, though, and I was fairly certain that my womb was a desert ravaged by endo, so something completely predictable happened. I got pregnant. The second surprise pregnancy of my life, but at least I wasn't going to be alone for this one. I made the choice to keep that pregnancy for the same reason I decided to keep my first child, because it was the right choice for me. A choice that's not right for everyone. A choice that shouldn't be made in a courtroom or a political stage. A choice that should be made by one person and anyone that they decide to include. Even at its best, pregnancy literally sucks the life out of you to funnel into the creation of a future human being. At its worst, it's deadly. At 19, I had a fairly peachy pregnancy. Back then, the drama revolved around the deadbeat I was with rather than the health issues or any health issues. This time at 32, high blood pressure out of nowhere, almost immediately. And then at the 20-week mark, it was officially preeclampsia. Preeclampsia is a rare disorder that usually begins after 20 weeks of pregnancy in someone whose blood pressure has been normal, and it can lead to serious and even fatal complications. Multiple hospital stays and a very hot, miserable third trimester in the dead of summer, and I had a 7-pound miracle baby who came exactly 4 weeks early. I knew this was the last pregnancy that my body could handle, so the plan was to tie my tubes, otherwise known as a tubal ligation, and try controlling the endo with an IUD. At this point, I was considering a hysterectomy, but I was scared of the implications. Hysterectomies come with their own risks, including a higher chance for osteoporosis and even a shortened lifespan. I'd had some issues with insurance covering the IUD, and it didn't take long for the endo to come back in full force. By the time I knew I wanted to be done with the pain, once and for all, risks be damned, it was February of 2020. And there were rumblings of something big on the horizon. We didn't know it, but everybody's life was about to shatter. And I was about to go into surgical menopause. I want to take a moment now and mention that I actually had to write this next part of the episode separately because I couldn't process the different traumas on the same day. I thought it was important to point that out just to really illustrate that none of this shit is easy. The shit we go through as women isn't fair, and now we don't even have the right to the medical freedom required to make some of the decisions that we need to make. But back to the point, I decided to have a total hysterectomy. This is where they remove the uterus, fallopian tubes, and ovaries. Because estrogen is like gas on a fire for endo and a lot of women's health issues, it was imperative that I remove that source. It also meant that I couldn't take any form of hormone replacement therapy either. Rapid surgical menopause would start the moment the doctors removed the organ system. By now, the pandemic was here and no one knew what the fuck to do. I had a final consultation with my trusted gyno and made the appointment for a total hysterectomy, and I couldn't wait. The prospect of being pain-free, of not having to stress about rearranging my life around my period, of being able to be present for my kids, it made the wait easier. I don't even remember how long I had to wait in between deciding to do it and actually being wheeled into that surgical suite. But suddenly it was here. It was time. My husband, Nick, and I got up early to arrive with hours to spare as requested. I don't know if we had to come so early because of a standard procedure or if it was a new protocol because of the pandemic. I had to leave Nick in the waiting room from the very beginning. The entire wing was almost completely shut down. Furniture was covered. It was dark, except for like one overhead panel, and it was creepy as fuck. The nurse came in and called my name, and I held Nick so tightly that I couldn't breathe. I didn't want to have yet another surgery. I was tired of feeling these pre-surgical jitters. Am I going to feel it? Is the sedative going to work? What if I die on the table? So I held my husband for a moment and I walked away. The next time he would see me, I would be in recovery and my reproductive system would be in the incinerator. But not before I had to wait for hours to even get started. I was in a prep room of some sort and there were three others there for the same procedure. My gynecologist had traveled from the city that I normally see him in to another small city in Missouri because there is a shortage of capable doctors in the greater Midwestern area. So many healthcare professionals have to pull double and triple travel duty just to see everyone who needs their help, which meant this hospital now had more than a couple of gynecologists on call. And today was hysterectomy day. Hysterectomies are almost always robotic these days. So it's very similar to the laparoscopy surgeries that I had already had done to excise the endo lesions. First, they filled my abdominal cavity with CO2 to expand my belly and give themselves plenty of room to see. They made three incisions in seemingly random spots on my abdomen and in my belly button. And then they sliced and diced that sucker up and pulled all the pieces out through one of those holes in my tummy. And just like that, my brutal uterus was dead and gone. Hallelujah. I woke up in recovery. And much to my surprise, I felt empty inside. Like I suddenly, innately understood why it was called a sex drive, because I was no longer driven by a biological imperative to reproduce. I'm still not sure how much of that feeling was instinctual and how much of it was a placebo effect. By that, I just mean that I knew it was gone, and so it felt like it was gone. I wasn't empty in the sense that I felt like I had made the wrong decision or that I was missing some vital part of the human experience. It wasn't like that at all. It was the mental and physical sensation of knowing an entire organ system was gone. And that was literally an empty feeling, but one that I celebrate, but empty nonetheless. Don't get me wrong. I still love sex, but it's different now. I love it because I love him and the connection that it provides. But if something were to happen to him or our relationship and I found myself alone again, I don't foresee myself having any drive to change that. As an introvert, especially, I would likely just stay single, happily lean into spinsterhood and have no regrets because I have been pain-free since June 2020. And that is worth a great many things. Because I was utterly disabled. I couldn't walk for more than a few minutes at a time. I was 100 pounds overweight. I was depressed and I was scared and completely missing out on my kids. I call them Kiddo and the Bubs. Kiddo is my firstborn. I had them when I was 19, and for better or worse, we grew up together. I missed a lot of her events, band, choir, and softball, between pain and an erratic schedule at McDonald's while I was trying to build a branding and web design business. After my scary pregnancy with little Bubba, I was distraught at the idea of missing out on his life the way I had with Kiddo. Being there and being present are two vastly different things. And that's why I decided to have a hysterectomy at 34, a hard decision that I knew was not even a guaranteed cure, because endometriosis is a full body disease. But estrogen pours gas on the wildfire that rages in an endo-ravaged body. And cutting the gas supply was worth the risk of it not working at all to me. which says a lot about the desperation you feel when you're in chronic pain. You'll do anything to make it stop. I ripped out an entire organ system on the off chance that I could experience a life that didn't include feeling like my insides were being ran through a grinder. And it worked for me. Will it work for you? Would it be worth it to you? Those are the questions that you have to answer yourself. So that's my brutal uterus story. If you have one you'd like to share, I'd love to have you on the show. Go to brutaluterus.com/guests and tell me a little bit about your story. If you found value in this and want to stay up to date on new episodes, be sure to follow us on Apple or Spotify and wherever podcasts are found. Thanks for listening.